I think we're about, well, I hope we are, ready to go again. Maybe we'll be a little easier here. This one is entitled Connecting with My Spouse's Heart, and I've got, you know, this little verse here, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And I don't know how to knit, but I think that God can certainly do a work in knitting us together. One of the things that, I keep turning this off, one of the things that's important when we resolve to care is to have a goal. It's to be purposeful, to be intentional about what we're doing. And the goal that we have is to connect emotionally with our spouse. It's for them to feel and to experience us really paying attention to them. And we want them to be able to encounter that. We want that to be something that will be a blessing to them. We use the word intimacy, and we kind of stretch it out to mean, into me, you see. It's like opening up our heart and letting a person see inside or see what's really there. And in doing that, we're kind of inviting them and giving them the privilege to approach us and to come inside. But we can do that when we feel that they truly are sincere and genuine in that. Here's a couple that you can see that are just affectionate, and they seem happy. That's kind of what I believe every marriage would like to be like, where there's just an embrace, and we feel that with each other. It's like God wants to remove the walls. We want to tear all of that down and come together as one. That's really the goal that we have, that we can be one in Him, that we can be one with each other, and that God will bless us in that. There's a saying that says, a wise man chooses his destiny and accepts the road. A foolish man chooses his road and accepts his destiny. And the two key words here in different places is that we have a goal. We have something that we're aiming for, that there's a purpose, that we choose a destiny. We're going to approach it. And whatever road, whatever path, whatever opening that happens and where it takes us, we're going to accept that. We're going to let God be the one that drives it. A foolish man chooses his road. He decides which way he wants to go and how he wants to do it. And then he has to accept whatever the consequences are in all of that. Yeah, a wise man chooses his destiny and accepts the road. The road. Another thing then that we have, whoops, going backwards, outside of having a goal, is we have to choose to be vulnerable. People don't like to be vulnerable. It's like, if I'm vulnerable, then I'm more exposed and I'm setting myself up for hurt. I can be wounded. And no one likes that. I always share with couples when they come in, you know, what do you want to do here? How far would you like to go? What do you expect out of all of this? What would be your anticipation, or what would you prefer that we focus on? And oftentimes in doing it, I'll say, relationship requires taking a risk. And it does, and I can give you no guarantee. We might open up and we might have someone that doesn't respond to us or doesn't care about us or doesn't really see us. I can't change that for someone. So, yes, it requires a risk. But I also say that if we don't, or if we're unwilling to take the risk, then we're going to forfeit the potential that we could experience. And so it's worth it. When you are able to experience relationship and there's oneness in that, it makes it very much worth it in being vulnerable. Vulnerability is a blessing that God really kind of commits and shares with us. Vulnerability is the way God intended it for, to be open, to let the other person see into me, and to know that it's going to be okay, faults and all. They're going to know everything about me. They're going to know my little quirks. They're going to know my little, the areas in my life that where I'm not maybe up to par, or maybe I don't perform in the most right way, and yet they're going to love me anyway. It's like that's kind of what marriage is. It's seeing another person in all of their, in all aspects, even their weakness, and loving them anyway. It's just kind of accepting them there as they are. Vulnerability knows no evil. It's not going to be keeping a record. It's not going to be continuing to focus on looking at that other person. We give this little illustration again, and it all can be possible when we go here, when we incorporate God into our life and we let Him be the one that gives us the affirmation, and out of that will flow from us to our spouse or to those around us, and we can show them more charity, more compassion. We go to that place of grace, and there are four keys to grace. As we go into God's room, as we go into His presence, as we go and approach His throne, there's four things. One is humility. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, and He resists the proud. But humility is an aspect, it's a key that unlocks the door to grace. Another aspect of grace is being honest. It's owning our need, our dependence, and willingness to accept and receive. It's simply just being open and honest in order to allow God to offer us and meet our need. It's a childlike trust. God wants us to trust Him like children. I oftentimes use the illustration that God just wants us to be able to hold Him, to hold to Him. And in doing so, He provides for us something that goes beyond our expectation. And I'll use the illustration sometimes in having someone stand up and put their arms down to their side and face me, and just to fall toward me, and I want you to trust me to catch you. And I think all of us could be willing to do that, even if we didn't know the person, because we can see, and if that person lets us down, then we can actually put our hands out and we can brace our fall. But if I ask that person to turn around and to put their back to me and to fall back toward me, they can't see me. It takes more faith to trust in doing that. And the potential is there that I could let them down or not be there to catch them. But you know what God does? God says, I want you to turn and I want you to face me. I want you to look me in the eye. And as you look me in the eye, He says, I want you to fall backwards. Do you believe that I can catch you and keep you from falling? That's the kind of faith, that's the kind of trust that I want you to have in me. From our perspective, from a human standpoint, that's absolutely impossible, but not with God. We don't want to limit Him. We want to have a childlike trust in knowing that His grace is sufficient and it will provide for us. I believe it. I embrace it. I'm going to allow it to be real in my life. And then we have to confess our sin. We've got to remove all of the taint, everything that's kind of gotten in the way. And we just got to be realistic and genuine in that approach. And that's the next thing. The third thing is to be authentic, to be real, genuine, and sincere. That there's a passage of Scripture, and I don't have it listed here, but it's in Philippians where it talks about that we would be sincere. And that word comes from a word, sincera, which means without wax. And what that stands for is like potters would make pottery, and when they would glaze their pots or when they would dry, sometimes they would crack, and so then they would have a faulty container. And so they would take wax and they would fill in the gap and they would paint over that. And a vessel or a pot or a clay container that was said to be sincera without wax was one that you could set out in the sun and the wax wouldn't start oozing out and reveal the crack. It was authentic. And God wants us to be sincere, to be authentic, genuine, real. I'm going to show you a little clip here, and then we'll go to this next session.
I messed up. So I told her, you got a mirror, you can see what you look like in those jeans. So anyway, I don't know what to do.
You just talk to her.
And tell her what?
You tell her how you feel.
I did. I told her, I feel like you look like your mother.
Okay, no, you need to use your words, you know, romantic words.
Oh, wait, what?
Okay, honey, you take your wife by her hands and you just pour into her.
Wait, am I holding her hands or am I pouring something? I can't do both.
What? No, Todd, you are going to pour words into your wife. You look her in the eyes, dead set, and you just let go. Because that's what she does to you, Todd. She makes you let go. And you say to her, you mean everything to me. And I would let go of everything if it means that I just get to hold you for the rest of my life. That's what you do. What are you doing?
I'm calling my wife, and you are going to tell me some pretty words to say to her.
We are not doing this.
Hey, babe. No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I was an idiot, and I know you said some things too. You shouldn't have.
That's not what I meant.
I have some things to say to you right now.
No.
While we're on the phone.
Stop it.
Just listen.
I'm sorry.
For what? Don't you tell her that.
I'm sorry. Babe? She's still there. I can hear her breathing.
Tell her I love you and you mean everything to me and I am a fool because I don't tell you that more often.
I'm a fool for loving you and I should say that stuff more often.
You are the only reason I am half the man I am. Your love and constant support is my daily breath.
I'm half the man I am because of you. And your love is a constraint.
Constant support.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no, your love is constantly on my breath. Daily.
You are the greatest blessing God has ever given me. You are perfect for me.
Babe, you're the best thing God ever did for me. You're perfect. For me, you're perfect. You're not perfect.
I gave you a little more than what you do me. Just tell me what to say.
Sunsets are more beautiful when you are on the horizon.
You're more beautiful at sunset on the horizon. I'm gone in 60 seconds.
What a moron.
You were great.
I know, right?
The words you said, I heard. I had no idea.
Seriously? You had no idea that some women fall for that stuff?
I'm just glad you're not that gullible.
By the way, what's for dinner? I've messed up.
Use your words, my friend. Use those words.
You want to be authentic. Words are something that's really important. In the next session, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about just some of the aspects of the relationship. And you could see how when you speak into someone's